Hey there, this is Terry Cowley, weekday breakfast presenter on 1FM Shepparton. Thanks for checking out this podcast. It was recorded live as part of the Brekkie Show, which you can catch 6 to 9am Monday to Friday.
Now it's time to drop around to Cozzy's Corner.
Means it's time to welcome Mr. Roman Coz back to the airwaves. Good morning.
Good morning, TC, and good morning to our listeners. Looking to be a good day outside.
It is. What have you got for us this morning, Roman?
Well, today I've got a world champion. His name is Bruce Springsteen, born September the 23rd, 1949, of Irish, Dutch and Italian descent. His father was a bus driver who had unfortunately had some mental health problems, which had his mum, who was a legal secretary, become sort of the main breadwinner. A little bit of trivia while I've got it listed here. His sister Pamela started off as an actress and played a serial killer called Angela Baker in a couple of films, Sleepaway Camp 2 and Sleepaway Camp 3. You wouldn't know those ones, would you, Terry?
Nope.
Same here. Look, his home situation wasn't all that flash, with his dad having the problems and some turbulent school years. But when he was about 8, he saw Elvis Presley on the Ed Sullivan Show. And he wanted music in his life. Naturally, a series of bands followed. And in the late 1960s, he formed a band called E Street. By this stage, some of his songwriting ability had become known, and he auditioned for Columbia Records in 1972 through a guy called John Hammond. Now, John Hammond has a little bit of history. He signed a young fellow called Bob Dylan about a decade earlier to a singing career, so he certainly has a bit of a place in musical history. It was around this time was also when Bruce became known as the Boss, because he was very good at collecting pay and distributing money after playing their gigs. So that's where the Boss came from, apparently. The song Blinded by the Light was on his debut album, Greetings from Asbury Park, in 1973. Now, in 1977, Manfred Mann did a cover version of this particular song, which became number one in the USA and top 10 in the UK, Canada. And it caused quite a controversy at the time because of the difficulty in listening to the words juice, where some people thought it was douche. And apparently it was believed the song became quite popular because people argued about which word was actually in the song, when the word was actually juice, like as in the card playing juice. Second album followed, The Wild, The Innocent and The E Street Shuffle. Critical acclaim, but no major commercial success. 1974 is where we sort of start with him. Born to Run album took 14 months and 6 months for the title song to do. I find it hard to believe that things take that long. And even then he wasn't satisfied and threw the master out the window and into a river at one stage. However, after a little bit of fiddling around, it was released in 1975. And peaked at number three on the US Billboard, and almost every song received airplay, with apparently Thunder Road and Jungle Land as two of the very popular. 1978, Darkness on the Edge of Town. Now, this was sort of a major change for him, a major reflection on his growing intellectual awareness of himself.
And just about my favourite album.
Oh, is it really? Fantastic. Look, in this, it's around this time when he realised he had depression, and whether that was... obviously through his father having problems, and he sort of became a bit more aware about himself, and he also developed a bit of political awareness at the time too. Also at the time, he wrote songs for other singers, and probably Patti Smith with Because the Night, which became number 13, and the Pointer Sisters, he got a number 2 for them with a song called Fire. Now, I'm amazed at the age of 31, it took him that long to get his first top 10 single, Hungry Heart, off the album The River.
It's so interesting, because I find that song like the least appealing, and it's one of the most popular. I guess had to really go down that pop road, didn't he, to get that charting?
Yeah, I guess so. It's a song that I like, I must admit. I've played it a couple of times on 98.5, so I like the other one that... I forget the name of the title, but it's something about fire in the song title. 1984, well, here we go, Born in the USA. 7 singles reached the top 10 out of this particular album, and it was a massive success, of course. The title track was a little bit about his bitterness about the Vietnam returned people, you know, veterans who got a pretty poor reception in the USA, and as I remember too in Australia. He had friends that had been over. He couldn't go over because of an injury he had when he was younger, and he's a little bit erratic at the interview, apparently. Dancing in the Dark was the most popular song that came off this. It ended up number two. A little bit of trivia. In the video of it, he drags a girl up from the audience to do a bit of dancing for him, and the girl turned out to be Courtney Cox, who 10 years later became Monica Geller on the TV series Friends.
Yeah, I wanted to be Courtney Cox, I can tell you that.
Fair enough. Yeah, look, in 1988, things moved on, of course. He did a concert in East Germany. There was a bit of a softening of attitude to the Western world by the authorities in those days. 300,000 people turned up. As such a success of the concert, it was thought by some that it might have helped for the downing of the Berlin Wall the following year. So it's difficult to know. It was just suggested. We're going to move on a few years. 1994, he wins an Academy Award for the song Streets of Philadelphia, which came from the film Philadelphia, a terrific film with Tom Hanks in it, where he plays a lawyer who gets HIV/AIDS. And it was sort of the first time Hollywood had tackled this particular topic.
And what a tearjerker it was.
Oh, it was a terrific film. He actually played a lawyer in the series, but he had to have Denzel Washington as his lawyer. That was a terrific film, a really tough film to watch, wasn't it?
It's definitely worth seeing, that's for sure.
Yeah, for sure. 1990s keeps going. He has several tours into the early 2000s, of course. In 2002, he brought out the album The Rising, his first full album in 18 years. So there are all sorts of compilation type songs that he'd done. The Rising won the Grammy for the Best Rock Album, was nominated Best Album of the Year, and the song The Rising was nominated as the Best Song of the Year. So he was back into business again. Of course, time goes on, he keeps going. In 2012, Wrecking Ball was his 10th number one album, more Grammy nominations, and also there's a little bit more political involvement in his own personal life, where he actually became a campaigner for Barack Obama for his presidency the second time around. So, a little bit of a change in his life there. Around this time, he spoke a bit more about his depression, and he said the death of his father had him suggest the unhappiness of his early life with his dad, had him write not happy songs. Yeah, he actually wrote songs with a bit of an edge in them, and that's where he believes his success came from those tough early days with his dad. He's been married to singer-songwriter Patti Skelter, who he met in 1984 at the start of his Born in the USA tour. She was a backup singer, and in 1991 they married and have been married ever since. He had been married previously for 4 years to Julianne Phillips, an actress and model, but that was a little bit turbulent and didn't quite last the distance. Their daughter Jessica has represented the USA equestrian team in international competition.
So yeah, I've seen her perform, is that the right word? But I've seen her, do her sport. She's amazing.
Yeah, right. So there's an interesting family in there. So, there's Bruce Springsteen's daughter. So good. Look, a complex, gifted man is Bruce Springsteen. There's no doubt about it, but by Joe's a leader in the music world.
You haven't mentioned his recent album this year.
You know why? because there's too many of them. I think he's done 19 albums now. Have you got the latest one?
Yeah, I do. It's not great. Wasn't my favourite. I definitely am a fan more of his 70s and 80s stuff than his more recent stuff, I have to admit. And I think that song you're talking about was I'm on Fire?
That's the one, I'm on Fire.
It was the B-side. Sure. It was the B-side of Dancing in the Dark back when we had A and B-sides, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So there you go.
I particularly like that one and Hungry Heart. However, you have chosen which particular song?
I've chosen Dancing in the Dark. What year did you say Born in the USA came out? I missed Love Rip.
Born in the USA. Let me have a little look there. It was 1984, Terry.
Yep. See, I finished high school in 85. So this was massive, you know, during my formative years. And Dancing in the Dark was kind of like my first boyfriend and my song. So you won't be surprised to hear that I am going to play that.
You go for it, Terry. I'll get you. You go for it, and we'll catch up with you all on Wednesday when I'm going to do a TV show that has won 62 Primetime Emmy Awards.
Okay, look forward to that, Roman.
I guarantee you've probably seen a few episodes of it.
Probably. Thanks so much for your time, Roman.
Okay, no worries. Bye for now.
You've been listening to a 1FM podcast.